Yes.
In the teleconference, there are very few, right?
Yeah, there's only 5 people on right now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
So anyway,
mostly
but
they're in my day. Yeah.
yeah, there's about 30 channels connected on Maipo TV Inc. and plus the 60 devotees in Ujjain.
How did you find out that there are 60 devotees in Ujjain?
Oh, we arranged it with Rasananda Prabhu. So,
Okay, he told you.
yeah.
Okay, and there are 30 connections.
On Maipo TV.
MyPTV.
Yeah. So
Okay.
you have enough viewers, Guru. You have at least
No,
100.
that's all right. Even if there's one person, that's also fine.
Yes,
A little bit
yes.
down. So we,
Okay,
yeah.
Guruji. So anyway, just for the benefit of the two people on this teleconference, Guruji will just speak for about half an hour or so, or 30 to 40 minutes on Nirjala Ekadashi, and then there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. And we're recording this for the benefit of others as well. So if you want to keep your line on mute, well, right now we'll keep it on lecture mode. So that means anywhere you're muted. For the participants, and later on when the
Let me
questions
wait
start,
for it. Who
then you
said
can dial star 9 to ask the question when we start the question queue.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Guruvanch?
Atma, is it all right?
Yes, you can go ahead, Guruvanch. Yeah.
Yeah. So Atma was talking to me. Oh, that's fun. Okay, Anand, the viewing is okay, like the light and everything.
Yes, on Maipo TV, it's very good program. Yes.
Okay. Hare Krishna. So I'm very happy to be with you all again. Actually, the consideration was whether I would give the class on Saturday, but Saturday I was going to travel. I'm in Switzerland now. I'm in the southern part of Switzerland called Lucarno, a place called Lucarno. It's next to a place called Lake Majero, or I think in German it's called Langensee. It runs between Switzerland and Italy. It's a very large lake. It's a beautiful place, right on the by the side of the lake and surrounded by the mountains. And a very big film festival takes place here also. So this is quite a famous place, Lucarno. And so since I won't be available on Saturday, therefore I thought, or rather it was actually Anand's suggestion that I give a class today on the occasion of Nirjala Ekadasi, and then give a class on Sunday. So I'll give a class on Sunday. Sunday I'll speak on Bhagavatam. I think on this Sunday we'll do 19th chapter of the first canto. And today we are going to speak on Nirjala Ekadasi, and then we'll go into the topic of Ekadasi. So first let us start with Nirjala Ekadasi. There are 26 Ekadasis. Each month has two Ekadasis, so 12 months have 24 Ekadasis. But Purushottam month, which is like the leap year according to Vedic calculation, 1 month extra month called Adhik Mas or extra month. So in that Adhik Mas, there are two extra Ekadasis, so together there are 26 Ekadasis. And out of that, the 14th one is Nirjala. And this actually begins from Margashirsha, that means November, December, the month. Actually, the Sanskrit months, the Vedic months, begin practically from the middle of the English month. Therefore, it goes into 2 months. October, I'm sorry, November, December is the month of Agrayan or Margashirsha. And from that, the Ekadasi is counted. So accordingly, 14th Ekadasi is Nirjala, which takes place in the month of Jyeshtha. Boishakh and Jyeshtha are the 2 months of summer season. And the Jyeshtha comes in between June and July. And it's the hot season, summer, in India. You all, those who are in India, you can well imagine how hot it can be. Even in Switzerland, which is a very cold country, we are feeling the heat of the summer. It's quite, here the weather is quite hot actually. So, anyway, so this, in the middle of the summer, this Ekadasi is Nirjala Ekadasi. Nirjala means the Ekadasi that is meant to be fasted without even drinking water. Ekadasi should be generally fasted like that, without food and without water. But in ISKCON, Prabhupada did not set such a lofty and austere standard, because Prabhupada was dealing with mostly Westerners who are not really accustomed to austerities. Therefore, Prabhupada's standard was very liberal. Prabhupada's general attitude was very compassionate. So, therefore, Prabhupada allowed the devotee, or rather, Prabhupada made it a point that devotees can take prasad, but fast from grains and beans. I'll come to that, why it is important to fast from grains and beans. Now to go to the Nirjala Ekadasi. Although every Ekadasi is meant to be fasted without even drinking water, but this particular one is advised that we fast from completely, even from water. The story goes like that. Bhima had difficulty observing Ekadasi because another name of Bhima is Brikodar. Brika means wolf and Udar means belly. The wolves are famous for being hungry. So Bhima is very famous for his appetite. Brikodar means ravenous appetite, like an wolf. And like Bhima, when they were in disguise and they were hiding in Ekachakra Gram as a wandering Brahmanas, they used to maintain themselves by begging. And when they would collect the food, the half of it was to go to Bhima, and the rest half was shared by other 4 brothers and Mother Kunti. And so Bhima is very fond of eating. Therefore, Bhima used to find it difficult to observe Ekadasi, like most of us. And so he asked Vasudev, what should you do, grandfather? So then Vasudev actually gave this a concession to Bhima, that at least one Ekadasi, this Nirjala Ekadasi, you fast. And by fasting this Nirjala Ekadasi, you will get the benefit of fasting all the other Ekadasis. Just one Ekadasi a year will give you the benefit of fasting the Ekadasi all the year. And that's why this has been prescribed, that just as the concession was given to Bhima, we also take advantage, like just fasting one Ekadasi properly, we get the benefit of fasting all the Ekadasis in a year. So, in this Ekadasis, even one should do achaman very carefully, that even achaman can be drinking water. So one should be very carefully doing the achman, taking just a few drops of water on the palm and doing the achman. And charanamrita also, one should take just a few drops. Like, the point is, one should not take advantage of doing achaman and drink water, and doing drinking charanamrita, like drink a glass full of charanamrita, saying that, well, we are simply taking charanamrita. And so one should be very careful. And so that is the Nirjala Ekadasi. The way Ekadasi is meant to be fasted or observed is that, as I said, one should abstain from even water, and drinking, I mean, and if, and also fasting completely. So when one does that, when one fasts for the 24 hours like that, from sunrise to sunrise, or you can say Brahma Muhurta to Brahma Muhurta, then one gets the full benefit. When one fasts from the whole day, fasts on the whole day and eats something after sunset, he gets half the benefit of Ekadasi. And when one eats at midday, in this way, one gets the quarter of the benefit of Ekadasi. Therefore, we should be very careful. Like, Ekadasi is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to free us from our sinful reactions. So we should make it a point to take full advantage of this benefit, the full advantage of this opportunity that the Lord has created for us. So this is the special purpose of observing Nirjala Ekadasi. Nirjala means no, nir means no, jala means fasting. Jala means water. So Nirjala means fasting even from water. So that is the way it will be. One is meant to fast. So now I'll go to the Ekadasi in general. You see, Ekadasi means 11th. So the 11th day of the movement of the moon. See, Vedic calculation is according to the movement of the moon, whereas the Western calculation is according to movement of the sun. So according to Vedic calculation, the moon goes from full moon to new moon, and then again new moon to full moon. So these are known as two pakshas, or two wings, or two sections of the movement of the moon. And it goes from Ekadasi, Prathama, new moon, to it begins first day, second day, third day. Like, it is counted like Prathama or Pratipad, Ditya, Tritya, Chaturthi, Panchami, Shashti, Shaptami, Ashmi, Navami, Dasami, Ekadasi. Dasami is 10th, 11th is Ekadasi, then Dwadasi, then Trayadasi, then Chaturdasi, the 14th day. And then it comes to the new full moon. The moon becomes, it's called Purnima. So 15 days in this way, the waxing period of the moon, and then 15 days of the waning period of the moon. So this way, a month is consisting of 30 days. So 30 days of month divided into two pakshas consisting of 15 days each. And the 11th day is called Ekadasi. So there are two narrations of the appearance of Ekadasi. So the one narration is from Brahma Vaivarta Puran. So this goes like, when you see the Lord, when the Lord created, like along with creation also came sin. People started to act in a wrong way, and as a result of that, they would accrue sin. So, with all the sin, a personality appeared. As all the sins personified in the form of Papa Purusha. So, this Papa Purusha is the personality who is responsible for giving punishment or miseries, afflicting living entities, miseries with the sinful activities. And the body of the Papa Purusha is generated from different types of sinful activities. Like when the killing of a Brahmana causes the head of the Papa Purusha. And taking intoxication causes the eyes of Papa Purusha. Then stealing gold, stealing gold causes the mouth of Papa Purusha. Having sexual intercourse with the wife of the guru causes the ears of Papa Purusha. Killing of one's wife causes the nose of Papa Purusha. Killing cows cause the arms of Papa Purusha. Stealing wealth causes the neck of Papa Purusha. Abortion causes the chest of Papa Purusha. So you can see in this way there are different sinful reactions, sinful activities are giving rise to the body of the Papa Purusha. Now, due to sinful reactions, people are, along with that, yes, Krishna also created Jamaraj. Jamaraj is meant to judge living entities according to their sinful activities and pious activities. So when the living entity dies, according to his sinful activities, he is judged by Jamaraj. He is taken to Jamalaya. As you all know, the Jamadutas come at the time of death and takes the living entity. The gross body dies, but the subtle body remains. And subtle body is the embodiment of one's karmic reactions. The way we act, that gives rise to, gives a shape to our subtle body. So at the time of death, the living entities who are very sinful and very attached to their gross body, to their material existence, they don't want to leave their body. Therefore, Jamadutas come with noose and whips in their hands, and they put the noose around the neck of the subtle body of the living entity and drag him out of the body. He doesn't want to come out of the body, so they whip him. In one hand, they're putting a noose around their neck. They pull him, and then they beat him with the whip. So this is how they drag the subtle body out of the gross body for living entities who are very attached. Devotees don't have to worry about that because the devotees, because they have taken shelter of Krishna, the Jamadutas won't come to them. Jamaraj advised the Jamadutas that they shouldn't go near the devotees. And even if Jamadutas come, and even if the devotees are taken to Jamalaya, the abode of Jamaraj, the devotees will not be afraid because the devotees will be delighted to see Jamaraj, one of the 12 Mahajans. So devotees will be delighted to have the darshan of Jamaraj and offer obeisances to him, and naturally Jamaraj also will treat them in a different way. So anyway, but generally, living entities are dragged out of their material body, gross body, and taken to Jamalaya. And Jamaraj there judges the living entities according to their activities. Jamaraj has a clerk. His name is Chitragupta. So Chitragupta records all the activities of all the living entities. Now apparently it appears to be, it's impossible. How can one person keep record of all the activities of the living entity? But nowadays we are seeing that the activities of the people are being recorded in computers. The data is there. Everybody's data is there. Like if a simple computer, a simple human being can keep records of so many people in the computer, what to speak of Jamraj's clerk, Chitragupta, who is specially empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can keep record. We should be very careful how we act, because all our activities will be recorded, and sinful activities is liable to punishment. And that, because of that, we may be dragged to Jamraj's abode, and there we'll be judged and punished. So, in Jamalaya, the sinners are punished. And one day Krishna went to the abode of Jamraj. Because as you know, Jamraj is one of the Mahajans, one of the great devotees of the Lord. So Krishna visited Jamraj. Jamraj was very pleased to greet Krishna. He washed his feet, offered padya, argha, and asana to sit down. And he worshipped him, offered him bhoga. And then at that time Krishna heard the cries, the inhuman, terrible cries of agony coming from the southern side of Jamalaya. So he asked Jamraj, what's happening? Like, why do I hear this cries of agony of these people? So then Jamraj told him that this is where the living entities, the sinners, the sinful living entities are being punished. And due to the punishment due to their sinful reactions, they are being punished. So then Krishna wanted to see, and he saw the various kinds of naraka. Their living entities are being tortured in a terrible way due to their punishment, due to their sinful reactions, due to their sinful acts. Activities. So Krishna decided that these are my creation, these are my creatures, and they are suffering. So I must do something to alleviate their suffering condition, to free them from the suffering condition. So Krishna, right there, he created a personality. A beautiful young woman, and she is Ekadasi. She is Krishna's internal potency, and Krishna made arrangements that if anybody observes Ekadasi on this particular day, which is the 11th day when she was created, he'll become free from all sinful reactions. Krishna in this way makes various arrangements to free the living entities from the sinful reactions. Like in Bhagavad Gita also, he made this arrangement sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braj. Give up all your so-called pious religious activities, so-called duties, and just surrender unto me. Give up all your so-called responsibilities and duties. Just surrender unto me. Then I will deliver you from all your sinful reactions. So similarly, Ekadasi is another arrangement of Krishna to free the living entities from the sinful reactions. Sarvadharman parityajya may not be possible, but observing Ekadasi is easy. Just observe Ekadasi and you'll be free from all your sinful reactions. So in this way, Krishna made this arrangement. And this was also projected through Dharma Shastras and through the sages and saintly personalities who are very compassionate, who also want to help living entities to become free from sinful reactions. So when Krishna made this arrangement, this was broadcasted all over the universe. That just observe this Ekadasi, the 11th day of the lunar movement, and you'll become free from all your sinful reactions. And so this way, people just started to become free from their sinful reactions. Now, because there was no sin, the sin personified, Papa Purusha, he became emancipated. He was, because there was no sin, so he was dying. So one day, Krishna saw, Vishnu saw that sin is staggering towards him. And so he asked him, "Sin, why are you in this kind of condition?" So Sin said, "Look, my Lord, you are my creator also. Therefore, you also have the responsibility to maintain me. But unfortunately for me, the day you created the Ekadasi, since then, all the living entities are observing Ekadasi and becoming free from their sinful reaction. And as a result of that, see what's my condition. There is no sin in the universe. So my existence is practically becoming terminated. Now you are my creator and it's your responsibility to maintain me also. Therefore, please do something for me to survive." So then Krishna said, "Okay, from now on, all the sins on the Ekadasi day will enter into the food grains, into the grains and beans." Now, grains actually means the things that grow from plants. When the crops become ripe, then the plant dies. So that is the definition of grains. The plants, when the harvest is ripe, it automatically dies. So wheat, rice, maize, barley, corn, all these fall in this category. Even the pulses, dal, beans. Beans also, notice, when they are ripe, the plant dies. So that is why they fall in the category of shasya. So on this day, on the day of Ekadasi, Krishna arranged, or Krishna, for the sake of Papa Purusha, made the arrangement that all the sins will enter into grains. And those who take grains on that day, although they may not have physically committed those sins, they will be liable to those sinful reactions. So that is why on Ekadasi days, we so strictly observe that we don't take grains and beans. Because all the sins will enter. Taking the grains on that day, one will actually take the sins, although they haven't committed those sins. And therefore the devotees are very careful. On the Ekadasi day, the devotees don't even take Mahaprasad, although Mahaprasad is free from sinful reaction. Mahaprasad is free from any karmic reactions. But still devotees observe, devotees don't even take Mahaprasad also on that day. The devotee should be very careful not to take grains and beans on that day. So that is the history behind the appearance of Ekadasi and why we abstain from grains and beans. So, now these Ekadasis are also known as Hari Vasara. Hari means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasara means day. Vasara means a day. And so it is the day of Hari. Is the day of Hari. This day is so dear to Hari that it is considered to be his day. Therefore, observing Ekadasi immensely pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And there is another narration of the appearance of Ekadasi. That is, there was a demon called Mura. Then Mura demon was so powerful that he defeated all the demigods. Indra, Chandra, Varun, Surya, Vasus, Maruts. These are different demigods. All these demigods were defeated by Mura demon. They drove them out of the heavenly planet. And he assumed the control of the universe. Actually, demigods take care of different universal affairs, like rising of the sun, rising of the moon, controlling the wind, controlling the air, so controlling rain. So these are controlled, all these universal affairs are controlled by the demigods. Now Mura, defeating the demigods, drove them out of the drove them away from the heavenly planet, which is their abode, which is their place of residence. And he took over the heavenly planet. And so, being completely distraught, the demigods then approached Lord Shiva and asked him what they should do. Like, and this particular demon has driven them out. They asked him to help them. Lord Shiva expressed his inability. He said, look, I can't do anything. But you can go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. So you go to him and you tell him to do something about it. So when the demigods then went to Narayan, Jagannath, and appealed to him, please do something about this. And so when Narayan heard that, he became very, very angry. He said, who dares to interfere in my arrangement? And the demigods controlling different affairs of the material nature is actually Krishna's arrangement. So to disregard that arrangement is disregarding Krishna. So Krishna was very upset, so he decided to, he said, okay, you all pick up your weapons, and where is the Mura demon? Who is he? So they went to his abode and attacked him. And Mura was extremely powerful, and he was also supported by millions of other asuras, demons. And so when the demigods attacked them, Mura, becoming very angry, he also counterattacked, and the demigods ran away, being unable to confront them. So these demons then attacked. The only person that was standing there was Hari, Narayan. But Narayan, at that time, just released his weapons. And his weapon, millions of arrows coming out of his bow, from his bow, killed all those demons. And at that time, Mura decided to confront him. So that is the Vedic way of fighting. The leaders don't fight at the beginning. They send the lesser powerful ones to fight, and then greater and greater strength begins to come. And so finally Mura was the only one left. So Mura started to fight with the Lord. And to his great surprise, the Lord saw that his weapons were not being effective at Mura's. So he became, all his weapons became ineffective. So then they started to fight with bare hands, wrestling. And they fought for a long, long time. And still Mura couldn't be defeated by the Lord. Finally become totally exhausted, the Lord retreated to Badrik Ashram, and he was so tired, he went to a cave called Hima. He went to the cave called Himavati, and Hima means snow. That place was full, it's completely covered by ice. A huge, a 96 yojana long cave, but had only one entrance. So Lord went, entered there, and he fell down, he fell asleep. And at that time, Mura entered there, also chasing him. He also came there. And the Lord was sleeping, so Mura thought that now I'll take advantage and I'll kill my enemy, Hari. So when Mura was about to attack the sleeping Lord, then a beautiful young woman appeared from the body of the Lord. And she stopped Mura. And they fought. Now Mura's weapons now is totally ineffective to this young girl. And so in this way, all Mura's weapons were exhausted. And Mura now just came to attack this woman with bare hands. Now this is also another law of Vedic way of fighting. Like, if the enemy doesn't have a weapon, then one drops his weapon also and they fight with their hands. So naturally this woman, young girl, is not going to fight hand to hand with Mura. So she just, with her sharp, there's a sharp weapon, cut the head of Mura. killed him. So when the Lord woke up, he found the Mura's dead body there. And he saw this beautiful woman. So he asked, "Who are you?" Then she narrated the whole story. That when the Lord was asleep, this demon came to attack him. He thought that now he would kill Hari, kill him. So she appeared from his body and fought with this demon and killed. So the Lord said that even I could not defeat that demon, and you have defeated this demon. So ask for any boon. In this way you have protected me. So he asked for any boon. So then she said that from now on, give me the boon that from now on, whoever observes this vow of austerity, of fasting, abstaining from frivolous talks, bathing and worshipping the Lord, and staying up the whole night, singing the glory of the Lord, he'll become free from all sinful reactions. So the Lord granted that boon. And he also told her, that since you have appeared on this day, the day of Ekadasi, you will be identified as Ekadasi. Your name will be Ekadasi. So, and this is how Ekadasi began. And this is the first Ekadasi, whose name is Utpanna Ekadasi. Utpanna means generated or produced. So because she appeared on this day, in this month of Agrayan, that's the first Ekadasi that is observed. Utpanna Ekadasi. The 26 different Ekadasis are known as Utpanna, Mokshada, Safala, Putrada, Shattila, Jaya, Bijaya, Amaloki, Papamochani, Kamada, Boruthini, Mohini, Apara, Nirjala. This is the Nirjala Ekadasi. Jogini, Shayana, Kamika, Pavitrarupini, Aja or Annada, then Pravartini or Parsha, Indira, Pashankusha, Rama, and Uttana. So these are the 24 Ekadasis of 24 months. The Adhik Mas, the Purushottam month, has two Ekadasis. They are known as Padmini and Parama. So this is how there are 26 different Ekadasis. Hare Krishna, so observe this Ekadasi very nicely and take advantage of this wonderful arrangement that Krishna made. Just observe one day Ekadasi every fortnight, and the benefit that he'll derive from that is inconceivable, especially today Nirjala Ekadasi. Just fast from water, observe it properly, and you'll get the benefit of observing the Ekadasi in this way for 24 Ekadasis in the year. And also medically also it says that fasting twice a month is very, very good for health, because this way your system gets complete rest. Digestive system gets complete rest. Generally we not only eat, generally we overeat. And that excess food becomes toxin. When the food that is not digested in the stomach becomes toxin. And this toxin accumulates in the body and gives rise to various diseases. But when you fast, then our fire of digestion burns out. First it burns out whatever food was there from previous days in the stomach, and then it starts to burn the poisons also, toxins also in the body. Therefore, fasting is a very good detoxifying process. So in this way, clinically also, we can see that it has its own benefit. And so all these, it's not that we should fast for physical well-being, but point is that while we are deriving spiritual benefit out of it, physically also there is benefit from it. Although our purpose is to derive spiritual benefit, but we can also have the other benefits, physical benefits, material benefits. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Thank you very
Hare
much.
Krishna.
Yes. So if anyone has any questions on the teleconference, you can just dial *6. That way you can ask a question over the telephone. And Guru Maharaj, if you can just let the Mayapur TV viewers know that they can write a question on the chat.
Okay. So the observers, the viewers of Mayapur TV, you can write your questions if you have in chat.
Yes. Guru Maharaj, you'll be pleased to know there are now 100 viewers on Mayapur TV. 100
okay.
Plus the 60 in OJ. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's at least 160 people watching.
Okay. Very good.
So, Guru Maharaj, we have a couple of questions. Just 1 second. Radha Pihari Mataji asks if, what if someone cannot do Nirjala Ekadashi today? Cannot do Nirjala today? So if they can just manage Ekadashi but eating, you know, fruit.
It's a written question?
Yes.
I mean, if I answer, she will. Okay, Radha Pihari, I'm very happy to hear from you. So often I think of you and I hope you're doing well. Okay. As you asked, if one can't do the Nirjala Ekadasi, then what should one do? Then he or she should try to observe the 23 other Ekadasis properly doing Nirjala. Yeah. The choice is yours. Yeah. Or wait for the next year's Nirjala Ekadasi.
Okay.
You said some other questions also?
Anantadev Prabhu should have them on his Skype. So does he have them?
Do you have any questions in the Skype?
Yes, there's one from Hartik Agarwal. He says, Guru Maharaj, we have heard that in Puri they don't observe Ekadashi. How can we understand that? What should we do if we are in Puri?
Yeah. There is a saying that in Jagannath Puri is such a holy place that one doesn't need to observe Ekadashi. That's why on Ekadashi's day, there's a big rush in Jagannath Puri, that they don't have to observe Ekadasi. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not approve that mentality. He said, our business is to please the Lord, not take advantage of some loopholes. So as I mentioned, like, although Mahaprasad is free from sinful reactions, and here Jagannath Puri is the place where There is no need to observe Ekadashi, but still you observe Ekadashi because it is Harivasur. It is a day which is very dear to the Lord, and for the pleasure of the Lord, we observe Ekadashi. Not for any other benefit. Our business is simply to please the Lord. Thank you.
There's a couple more that Anantadev covers.
Ananta, there are some more questions.
Yes, one says, in one class you said both pious and sinful activities are bad because forgetting fruits of pious activities and punishments of sinful activities, one has to come to the heavenly or hellish planets. By observing Ekadashi, one can be free from all sinful deeds. My question is, how can one be free from getting the fruits of pious deeds and subsequently attain pure Krishna bhakti?
Very good. Actually, paiti hasn't been mentioned in this respect because pious activities everybody want to enjoy, because generally people want to enjoy. People don't want to suffer. Sin gives suffering, therefore they want to get rid of sin. But paiti gives enjoyment, so everybody wants to enjoy. So they don't want to get rid of their paiti. But in the long run, both sin and paiti are in the bodily platform. Therefore, they are an impediment because the bodily platform prevents us from becoming Krishna conscious. So, like even if there is pious activities, we offer the pious activities in the form of service to the Lord. Say, for example, due to pious activity, one gets wealth. So when a devotee gets wealth, what does he do? He uses it in the service of Krishna. Due to pious activity, one becomes famous. What does he do? He uses his fame in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and spreading Krishna consciousness. Due to pious activities, one gets beautiful body. So this beautiful body becomes attractive to others. So he uses that attraction to promote Krishna consciousness. So in this way, due to whatever pious result is there, a devotee uses that in the service of Krishna. That is a devotee. But he doesn't remain attached to either the suffering or the enjoyment. That is the attitude of a devotee. Sukho dukhe samakritva lava lava samajaya jaya. In happiness and distress, in profit and loss, in victory or defeat, he remains unperturbed because he simply takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Any other question?
Which is a question from Janaka Raj Guru. He says, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. One follows all the Ekadashis. One follows all of them. What is the value of following this one so strictly?
Yeah. Well, if you're observing all of them so strictly, then you observe this one also strictly. That goes without saying. But the point is, if you cannot observe the other Ekadasi strictly, at least observe this Ekadasi strictly. That is the point. If you are observing all other 25 Ekadasi strictly, then you will naturally observe this one also strictly. The logic cannot be that I'll observe all other Ekadasi strictly, but this one I won't strictly. Is that a good argument or a good way to think? Naturally, no. Any other question?
Yes, we have a question from Rasananda Prabhu. He says, Dandavapananda Ramaraj, we are extremely happy to have your darshan on my course. Around 70 devotees are watching the Nirjan. Many students came from Indore and Bhopal to observe the Nirjan Ekadashi.
Wonderful.
My question is that sometimes we see that due to fasting, it becomes difficult to attend the Mangal Arati in the morning program on the next day. Guru Maharaj, how do we balance the both?
Well, try to attain, but if you can't, what can be done? You mean staying up the whole night? If you stay up the whole night, then attend the Mangal Arati and then go to sleep. Any other question?
Question from Chitta Hare Krishna Guru. Says Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Sallabhat Pranam. When should we take water? After 12 a.m. or after sunrise?
Fasting meaning until the next morning. And by the way, the Paran times are there. Say, for example, Ujjain Paran tomorrow is from 5:41 to 10:13. I'm sure you all have seen that. Ujjain Paran time is 5:41 to 10:13. Then Mumbai Paran is 6:02 to 10:27. Kolkata is 4:53 to 9:23 a.m. Delhi is 5:24 to 10:03 a.m. London is 3:43 to 9:16 a.m. Switzerland, Lucarno, where we are, is from 4:33 to 9:49 a.m. So, in Vaishnav calendar, you'll get the Paran time from your location, for your location. So, that is the try to break your fast. So, drink water after observing the day of Ekadasi. And at the time of Paran, you can drink some water.
The next question is from Raja Shekhar from Sydney. This is Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. What happens when Dwadashi day happens to be a day of fasting, like any other special occasion of Vyasa Puja? Do we break the Ekadashi fast and carry on with the next fasting day on Dwadashi day?
The thing is that when Ekadashi and Dwadashi come one after the other, then the day of Ekadashi fasting covers the fasting the next day also. Next day's fasting. Like, for example, we have occasions like that, like Baraha Dwadasi, Baman Dwadasi. So we are meant to observe fasting on Baraha Dwadasi and Baman Dwadasi. So what we do is, we fast, the Baman Dwadasi fast also on Ekadasi day. Because you can't consequently fast for 2 days. Because fasting also involves breaking the fast. So when you're breaking the fast, then you can't fast. You've already broken the fast. So that is why the fasting is observed on the day of Ekadasi. The fasting of Dwadasi. Observe on days of Ekadas. Any other question?
Question from Sucharya Mataji from Dalit. She says, if we follow Ekadas strictly according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, will the family members who have not taken initiation attain any benefit?
Yes, some benefit they derive. They derive some benefit, no doubt. But it's better that they fast also.
Another question more from Vineet from Ujjain. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please send my humble obeisances. Which is the best attitude while observing fasting?
Which is the best attitude of observing fasting? Yeah. The best attitude to observe fast is to give pleasure to Krishna. We are doing it simply to please Krishna. This is the day we are supposed to spend our time in glorifying Krishna, chanting His holy name, worshipping Him, and other such activities.
There's another question from Keshav from Chandigarh. He says, Hare Krishna Maharaj did some humble obeisances. Maharaj, you told that you can start fasting from Brahma Mumurta to Brahma Mumurta. Can we eat food or even drink water before Brahma Mumurta?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that's a good point. The way to observe fasting has been described that you observe, you eat on Dasami day at the time of sunset, but don't eat after that. Not that, you know, 4:30 the Ekadasi Brahma Muhurta is starting, Ekadasi is starting, and at 4:15 I have a big meal in the morning. No. But generally, it is not just 24-hour fast. It is actually 36-hour fast, at least. The latest food you can take is the day before at the time of sunset, not after sunset. I mean...
A question from Brijendra Krishna from Rukumudev. The question is, sometimes we see devotees who are sick taking Mahaprasad and Ekadashi. Is it okay, or they should strictly not take grains, even if health is bad?
Yeah, if the health is bad, they should fast even more. If the health is bad, why should one eat? And especially grain on Ekadashi, you know, that cannot be an excuse at all, as I said. Rather, it is better to fast when one is sick, because fasting is good for health.
Another question is from Shivam from Ujjain. Krishna is indirectly responsible for all the creation, so why he pretended that he does not know what was happening to the person in the hellish planet?
It is his pastime. This Krishna sometimes acts in such a way as if he didn't know. Because if he acted as all-knowing, then there won't be any room for pastimes. If Krishna acts as the Supreme Personality of Godhead all the time, then the demons won't be there to fight with. Therefore, Krishna actually plays that role just to give pleasure to the devotees. Any other question?
That's all. Ganga Narayan from Rukhama Jain.
Yeah.
My question is, latest, at what time we can drink water to observe Nirjal?
Actually, I have to check it. I think Hari Bhakti Vilas says that one can drink water before he starts the fast on the day, early in the morning. That I have to check. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. And I was very happy to be with you all. And devotees from Ujjain, I also miss you very much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Yes, sir.
And thank you very much for being such good devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Baba. Jai Shri Prabhupada.